The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been already dead in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there would be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said, "Untie him and let him go." Now, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Again, we welcome our catechumens. We're very happy for you studying to come into the fullness of the church and receive the sacraments. So we're glad to see you here tonight. Not long ago, I read a newspaper story about an Oklahoma City woman who suffered for 22 years with multiple sclerosis, which is an incurable disease that slowly cripples a person. Her name is Mary Clamser. She became crippled and could not walk. Maybe you read her story. I wonder if Mary Clamser ever said something like, "Lord, if you had been here, I would not have been crippled." How often have we cried out with our grieving friend Martha of today's gospel, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, Lord, that accident would not have happened. I would have never lost my job. There wouldn't have been the divorce. If you had been here, Lord, my son or daughter would have been spared the addiction, or my dear loved one would not have died. Oh, Lord, if you had been here, if you had only been here, Jesus, things would have gone so much better. Sound familiar? We hear Martha sort of making a backhanded act of faith when she says, in blaming tone, "Where were you when I needed you? You could have helped, but you didn't." Well, lucky Martha. Her brother is back, brought back to life. Her faith in Jesus is restored. We know the end of the Lazarus story. Maybe we always expect happy endings too. Yet more often, we hear ourselves muttering, "Lord, if you had only been here." The prophet Ezekiel once had a vision of a valley full of old, dry bones. They were scattered everywhere. They represented the people of Israel. Then Ezekiel watched as God brought those dry bones back to life. And God declares, as in our first reading, "I will open your graves and have you rise from them." It must have been pretty easy for Ezekiel to believe that promise when he saw those dry bones come to life. Lucky Ezekiel. Mary Clamser, after 22 years, was resigned to her fate. Lots of prayers, but she thought she would be crippled until the end of her life. Her family prepared for the worst. And then something happened. According to the news article, on a hot, sultry August night, a huge thunderstorm hit, bringing with it 100-mile-an-hour winds and baseball-sized hail. Incredibly, it also packed what some could call a miracle. As the storm raged outdoors, Clamser, now 44, was touching a metal handle on the toilet. With the other hand, she grasped a metal bar in the shower door for support. She was wearing a metal brace on her leg. Zap! The next thing she remembered was hearing her husband and doctor talking next to her hospital bed. The doctor was checking her legs for broken bones because lightning can contract muscles so violently that it can break bones, as she was told. Indeed, she had been struck. More unusual, she felt the doctor touching her dormant legs. 3 weeks later, Mary Clamser found herself standing in the part of a kitchen accessible only by walking. Startled, she asked her son what was happening. He told her she must have walked there and urged her to try walking again. "And I've been walking ever since," Clamser told the Oklahoman. Nearly 2 years later, and she plans to keep telling the story of her miracle. Well, lucky Mary Clamser. What about those of us who don't get happy endings? What about those of us who are left with dead brothers, dry bones, debilitating illness? Where is God, when the God of miracles, when we need him? Jesus tries to reassure Martha, "Your brother will rise again," but it doesn't seem to help. "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." That doesn't seem to help her much now. Her brother is dead and she is hurting. "Can't you do something now?" Well, lucky Martha. Jesus does do something, something wonderful. And he prays to the Father, "I know you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd, that they may believe you sent me." Welcome to the crowd. The crowd who wanted to believe, but were so skeptical, they needed proof. We are the crowd. We are the crowd of today, onlookers at the raising of Lazarus. You see, it all happened, too, that we might believe that our loving Father sent Jesus and that his word is indeed he trusted. The gospel tells us that Jesus wept and that he was troubled in spirit. Why? Could Jesus have doubted that his friend Lazarus would know eternal life? Or could his tears have been caused by the doubters, those who questioned his love for his friend? He opened the eyes of that blind man. Why could he not do something to stop this man from dying? Perhaps Jesus cried because they looked for love to be proven by miracles. Perhaps he cried because they had misunderstood the message of his healings. I think he cried because it was human. I think he cried because they cried. He cried because he knew his delay in coming had hurt them. They didn't understand his delay or its purpose. We too often misunderstand. Several years ago, my 20-year-old daughter got the dream job of her life and was moved to California, some 1,700 miles away. As a good father, I tried to be. I prayed for her every day. And of course, now the prayers were even much more important because I no longer had control. The Father had control. One night, as my wife and I went to bed, the phone rang. We had just dozed off to sleep. And my wife got the phone on her side of the bed. So I only got to hear half the conversation. And here's what I heard. What? An accident? The car was totaled. A truck hit you broadside? And I'm not hearing the other part of the conversation. So after my wife hung up the phone, in between while I was listening to this, I was getting angry at God. I thought I told you, God. I thought I asked you. I thought you promised you'd take care of her. So she gets off the phone, and I asked her for more information. It's true, the car was totaled. She was hit by a truck. What I didn't hear was she was pried out of the car with the jaws of life by the firemen. And what I didn't hear is she was all right and barely had a scratch. Talk about misunderstanding. And I was quickly embarrassed to God. I said, God, you did what I asked. You took care of her and got her through this. So I think too often we misunderstand it when God is delayed in answering our prayers. There's a reason for that. In the midst of an impending problem or in the midst of a particular need, we sometimes feel that the Lord is just too slow to act, too slow to respond. There's a message here for all of us today. That's this, that if we have come to the Lord with any matter, he will always respond. He will always be there. However, he will always act within his perfect timing. The Greek word in the Bible is kairos, God's perfect timing. So if you think God hasn't answered your prayer now yet, and you've been waiting a long time, be patient, keep waiting. He will not let you down. If there's any delay, it will always be for God's glory. I have promised, and I will do it, said the Lord. I have promised. Jesus Christ desires more than we can even imagine. He desires to be our close and intimate friend, our companion in life all the way through eternity. He deeply cares and will always be with us in our troubles and in our griefs. It is he who calls us out of our tombs of sin to go on living and empowers us through the sacraments to open our own graves of self-pity and selfishness so that we can give life to others. Forgiving them, affirming them, loving them. Jesus raised Lazarus not just because he loved him, but because God loved us. And because of that love, he paid the ultimate price, we know that. His only son, who allowed himself to be crucified. And there he hung on the cross between heaven and earth and died. So that we could receive the greatest miracle of all, resurrection, the gift of life forever.